Hello, and welcome to the Bad Clan Fantasy Podcast. My dog just thought I was talking to the door. It's me, your host, Blake. I'm joined today with Rob and Tyler. How are we doing, guys?
Doing great.
Terrible.
My dog is not happy about this. She's growling at every window right now. I said hello way too energetically.
Like somebody was there.
Exactly. All right, so we're here for week 8, right, is what we're going into?
Yes, sir.
So let's talk news, notes, injuries, etc. So Rob, take me through them.
I mean, news, it's the only real news is that it seems like, thank God this week we don't have big COVID news like we have in past weeks. I guess the biggest news in the league is Dallas is dumping their free agent class from this year. They got a conditional 5th/6th for one guy, and they just outright cut the other two. So I guess the purge comes and the race for a top 5 pick starts now. As far as injuries, I mean, there's a ton. Drake for Arizona got injured in that game against Seattle. And now that means Edmonds is a thing. Michael Thomas is still hurt, I think, with a hamstring. Aaron Jones, who was like a late injury after our podcast last week, I think it was Friday. So Williams is probably going to get a start another week. Mixon probably misses another game. And for the first time in a while, Julio Jones isn't on the injury report. So those are the main ones that I'm thinking of.
I'll just comment on Drake a little bit. That's a situation where I could see him not getting the job back. He's been ineffective this entire year, and Edmonds has been good. I think he's been like on per carry effectiveness, like number 3 overall. He just wasn't getting the work. So that could be a situation where Drake is donezo for the Cardinals.
So there is a little bit of COVID news. It's not exactly relevant right now, but the Texans closed their facility this week due to a positive player. They're on a bye, so that's why it's not super relevant, but they are closing facilities. They did have a positive.
Oh, speaking of the Texans, there's a report out that the Packers inquired about Will Fuller.
There was a follow-up report that said teams, just in general, are asking the Texans about Randall Cobb as well.
Nice.
Teams, the good old mystery team. No, I mean, the Packers one is interesting, especially since I think Lazard was back at practice today. So,
yeah.
I mean, I don't know. I guess if you're just looking for a guy to bring speed, but yeah, I don't know.
Also, I just got an alert. Neither Jamison Crowder or Breshad Perriman practiced today.
Wow, go also, Jets.
Denzel Mims.
Also, Aaron Jones did not practice either.
Yeah, I would put him closer to doubtful than he is questionable.
Yeah.
Is there word on Dalvin Cook? I haven't seen anything about him today.
He's expected to return this week. I think it was one of those where they were going to watch him in practice today and see, and I haven't heard anything since then, but I will do some background. Let me pull up this right now. I was limited in practice today. So yeah, I mean, just watch it the rest of the week. And go from there.
All right. So free agency moves after the Fab waivers run. Not a lot of interesting things going on here, except for one. Kegerator drops $18 on Scotty Miller.
Scotty Miller, who's immediately going to get covered up by Antonio Brown.
Yeah, I found that a bit of a dubious pickup, especially the amount of money. I think you could have got by with a $5 fab for him and been pretty safe. I mean, as it turned out, you could have got by with zero, but.
Yeah, and then $1 for Jermichael Hasty. You know, I put a dollar down, Turbo out there with his 15 total dollars, put down two. That dick.
Yeah, and I think that's a good move to grab Hasty, especially if you need a couple of wins here in a row. He's looked good.
Unless you guys got any other notes or news, we can push into spreadsheet coverage.
I mean, I think Whitefish picking up Wentz for $6 is notable because I also had a claim in on him. obviously he plays the, well, what did you call it last week? A paper bag that is Dallas. What's it now? Like a wet sack?
Yeah, a wet sack full of puke.
Yeah.
God, that's imagery I don't need.
Well, Greg will know what that's about.
It's, yeah.
I mean, if you're looking back to my college days, you could call it a car headrest cover full of puke. That's just horrible.
Well, in my Navy days, it's the side of my car covered in puke. So,
nice. Well, there you go. But no, I actually in another league where I have Kyler Murray on bye, I dropped exactly $6 on Carson Wentz as well. I think that was a good pickup for $6. Like I said, I put in a $0 bid because I didn't need him this week. But obviously the potential was there to have a big blow up week. And Turbo putting in a bid on Burrow is interesting. He obviously prioritized Hasty over Burrow. And so the only reason he didn't get Burrow was because he had already dropped the person he wanted to drop. But that's interesting as well.
Well, then he did pick him up later. He dropped Tanya and picked up Burrow anyway.
Oh, gotcha. Yeah, that's interesting. Burrow's been good.
He has been.
Yep. And then one thing I almost just skated on by, which would have been a travesty, is the trade that just got processed almost an hour ago at this point. That's a trade between Scary Terry and Whitefish. And from what I've heard since then, there's been a relatively good amount of animosity from the league about this trade. It's Mecole Hardman and Derrick Henry from Scary Terry and Tyler Boyd and Josh Jacobs from Whitefish. So, I mean, Tyler, how about you give me Rob, respectively? Shut up.
Yeah, no problem.
Give me your thoughts on this.
Fuck you, Chris. You piece of shit. On to you, Blake.
I mean, I'm kind of surprised about the sell on Derrick Henry, just in general. I don't know if personally I would have done that, especially for Josh Jacobs, who's in the most annoying backfield as a number one running back. But overall, how about that? Rob doesn't need more tools.
If you want my real thoughts here, Chris went out and shopped Derrick Henry or was receiving multiple offers from Derrick Henry, and he took the lowest bidder. Let's just say that.
Okay. Yeah, because
he accepted the worst offer.
There are whispers around the rumor mill of the league that the Reapers were trying to trade, and so was the Kegerator. So, Rob, how do you feel about this?
I mean,
I bet he feels great about it. I bet he just eats a bundle of joy. He just feels great. Awesome. Woohoo!
Well, I mean, I feel good about it because I forget Mecole Hardman. To me, this was Jacobs and Boyd for Henry. And, you know, I'm trading a number one running back and a receiver who's been real consistent and real good coming off a great game. And like we talked about he's been doing great, you know, for Derrick Henry. So I made the offer. Chris can verify this. I even forgot that I sent him the offer. So yeah, I mean, I'm happy with it. Sure. I need everything I can. I'm 2-5. What do you want?
Hey, you're Blake, also number two in points.
Well,
Blake, can I play a hypothetical with you?
A what?
A hypothetical game with you?
Yeah, sure.
Who would you rather have between Tyler Boyd and DJ Moore?
Tyler Boyd.
So would I.
Who would you rather have between Josh Jacobs and Jonathan Taylor?
Josh Jacobs.
Well, you failed the hypothetical test. So
for me, that's decently even between those two. Though Jacobs is the more established player, with Taylor being a rookie. So okay, there we go. It's done.
I don't like how that turned out. I would like to restart the podcast.
you can suck it, and
I don't like playing these games anymore.
How about you take this into your spreadsheet, little data dick?
And I don't want to. I quit. Move on.
It's your job. This is what I pay you for. Tell me the spreadsheet.
Wait, we're getting paid?
Yes, you're getting paid in attaboys.
I can't take you through the spreadsheet right now because I'm typing in Jonathan Taylor and DJ Moore versus Josh Jacobson to Tyler Boyd.
Why are you doing this?
Every single trade calculator known to man. And in every single one, it's like, yeah, of course you would want Jonathan Taylor and DJ Moore. I think you guys are just fucking idiots. I'm upset.
Jeez, easy, Turbo would say.
And that's why you're 3-4.
And what? They're fourth in the league? Oh, no.
Well, he's ahead of me.
Barely fifth in the league in points.
Yeah.
Behind six. Behind fucking Chris.
So how did we do last week, Tyler? I know I got one game right. You guys didn't get right.
You got more than that. Rob went 4-1. We both went 2-3. We're all 23-12 on the season.
Nice.
We're all 23-12 on the season.
Look at that.
Yeah. I don't care.
Okay.
Life is meaningless, and fantasy football is bad, and I don't want to do that.
All right. Well, on that note, let's move into matchups and talk about the 3-4 Fantasy Reapers versus the 4-3 Backdoor Hot Snakes.
Oh, gosh.
Seems topical.
It does.
So, Tyler currently with a 54% chance win probability. Reapers has Josh Allen against New England versus my Lamar Jackson against Pittsburgh.
Oh, my.
Side note, I will be playing a quarterback against Pittsburgh for the second week in a row. Last week it was Tannehill. This week it's Lamar.
And Tannehill did okay, correct?
Yes.
The heck? The thing I don't like about Josh Allen is that he's been right around 20 points for the past 3 weeks. They've kind of slowed down as an offense. They got like, what, 6 field goals last week? Something of that nature. I like Lamar here. Even against Pittsburgh. Was that?
You guys didn't like my music?
I mean, the sound of silence?
Yep.
Yeah. I enjoyed it.
Thanks. Yeah, I like Lamar here as well. Although, God, they're playing Pittsburgh.
I know. But I mean, like we said, Tannehill did all right.
Yeah, I think Josh Allen actually has a higher ceiling than Lamar this week. But given the option, I think I would start Lamar.
I also like him coming off. Oh, just before you go, I just have one more thing I want to add. I also like Lamar coming off the bye.
Yeah, so, I mean, a little bit of Lamar analysis here. You know, he had MVP season last year, had unbelievable fantasy numbers. Do you think coming off the bye, they regroup and Lamar figures it out? Or is he just kind of in the rut of being more average than he was last year, fantasy-wise?
For me, I think – well, there were whispers at the beginning of the year he was going to run less, and that's been true as far as yardage goes, except against Philadelphia, where he was 9 for 108. Otherwise, you know, he's only broken 60 yards one time before the last game against Philly. I think they're looking at themselves, and with the injuries they have at running back, Ingram's still not practicing. I think you might see more Lamar Jackson this game, and they've had an extra week to game plan against Pittsburgh. I think he breaks 30 easily in our league.
The big question I have, and obviously when you have a read option quarterback, a lot of the, you know, it relies on the running backs to be consistent for the quarterback to really break open runs. You got to wonder, with Ingram not necessarily being effective, why they haven't given the ball more to Dobbin, their second-round pick.
Right.
It's just bizarre. Literally 3 out of 6 weeks, one carry, two carry, and then 7, 5, and 9. And last game was Did Ingram get hurt in that game, or was he out for that game?
I think he got hurt in that game, but I wouldn't swear to it. I think that's why Gus Edwards got, you know, some more play in that one. And like you said, no, I agree with you 100% that that's why it hasn't worked as much.
I almost wonder if the biggest change coming out of the bye is the pivot more towards Dobbins. It just seems like that's what happens with those rookies is, and granted, it's more so for quarterbacks, but
yeah,
you know, you get 2 weeks to prepare. Again, it's against a really strong defense, but they lost that middle linebacker. And did Henry have a good game last week against Pittsburgh with Bush being out?
He started off slow, but then came on toward the end. And he had a decent game, yes.
Yeah, 20 for 75. So, I mean,
yeah.
Still like, yeah, I mean, who knows? It'll be interesting to see what happens with the Ravens offense.
I agree.
All righty, so we're moving into running backs for the Reapers. It is Edwards-Helaire against the Jets. Jonathan Taylor at Detroit versus Myles Gaskin with the quarterback switch to Tua against the Rams. And I have Jamal Williams in there still against Minnesota.
Who, by all accounts, is probably playing.
Right. I was going to say, I think you're going to get Jamal Williams this week. So that helped.
Yeah. Go ahead, Tyler.
I mean, we have to see what Miami looks like with Tua coming out of the bye. terrible. I imagine he'll check down a little bit more. I think Gesicki gets a bump up here with Tua as the quarterback. I don't know. I don't know if you give the running backs a bump down or not, because Tua is obviously more talented than Ryan Fitzpatrick, but I got to think that they're going to be playing the run a little bit more than they would if Ryan Fitzpatrick was out there. So I might give them a little bit of a bump down. Plus, I mean, Aaron Donald's going to be coming after Tua all game long. So plus Edwards has the Jets and Edwards-Helaire, even with his maybe volume drop, he still has the third most rushes of more than 10 yards in the league behind, I think it's Henry and Mixon. I'd have to double check the second one. Henry's number one with 18, and then I think Edwards-Helaire is tied with Mixon at 15. So nice. He's going to get those chunk runs regardless of the volume. And then Taylor's the lead back there and is going to get, you know, his touches. So I'm going to say Edwards-Helaire and Taylor take
those. Oh, man, I hate chunk runs. That's for sure.
Normally that's a oxymoron.
Right. No, the reason I chuckled when you were talking about Gaskin is when I said go ahead because you're already talking about that Williams was going to play, my first thing was going to say, you know, I really like Helaire and Taylor because I want to see what Gaskin's going to be with Tua under center. And when that was the first thing out of your mouth, I'm like, that's what made me chuckle, is because, like, well, that's exactly what I was going to say. So I have nothing more to say other than what you've already put forward here for these guys.
So I just want to say a little bit on Gaskin. In the last 3 weeks, he's averaged 15 carries and about around 5 receptions all year per game. I don't know it with, you know, the new quarterback and checkdowns, Tyler, you were talking about that. I don't know. I would put more money on that increasing the checkdown to Gaskin than decreasing. I don't know. I like the prospect of him with a rookie quarterback more than I would like him with Fitzmagic.
Yeah, and I agree that the checkdowns might increase. What I'm concerned about is, Gaskin has only once been below 3.5 yards per carry on the season. My concern is that efficiency on carries decreases, even though the checkdowns may go up, which may, all in all, come out to be a positive for Gaskin.
Sure, but if he gets more catches, right. Yeah.
Yeah, again.
Then catchers are points on points, baby.
Right, we just need to see what it is.
Well, this will be the best defense he's faced. I mean, he hasn't really faced anybody that's really good. San Francisco, but they were depleted. You know, the Jets, New England's down. So we'll see. But, yeah, I still like Helaire and Taylor here.
Yeah, that's actually that's actually a really good point, is Gaskin hasn't faced anybody since he's been the lead guy. Jacksonville, Seattle, San Francisco, the Jets. None of those are outrun defenses.
All right, so Reapers receivers are DJ Moore and Stephon Diggs versus my AJ Brown and Keenan Allen.
Oh my goodness. Well, I like DJ Moore against Atlanta, though I like everybody against Atlanta. Diggs against New England, I think that's a fine play. AJ Brown will do very well against Cincinnati. I'm not sure what Denver's been like against pass catchers here, but Keenan Allen's got a volume. And that rookie quarterback out there, he's been playing lights out pretty much ever since he came on board. Keenan Allen's been the man, except the one time he got hurt with his when his back spasmed on him. I got to give the edge to Brown and Allen here, especially since now Brown's healthy. He's been on a tear.
Yeah, when we first or when Blake first announced these, I was like, well, this is easy, Moore and Diggs, but it's really not. And I actually think Keenan Allen is a sneaky buy right now in fantasy just because he only has two touchdowns on the season, but almost 500 yards. And that's really that's a kind of surprising ratio to have that many yards but that few touchdowns.
Right.
So, and one of his touchdowns came in one of his least productive game. Oh, the game he got back spasms. That's because he got back spasms on that touchdown.
On that touchdown play, exactly.
Yeah, so I could see touchdowns coming for Keenan Allen. So, obviously, we're all here in the same fantasy landscape. But in your other leagues, go out and try to buy Keenan Allen, I think.
Right. All right. Yep.
I'm open for offers for trades anytime. On any of my players, not just Keenan Allen.
I'm only interested in Henry.
Nobody wants to trade with me, though. I've got the market on wide receiver twos, and nobody fucking wants
that's that's not the market you want to be in. That's like being in the market of selling sand in the desert.
Everybody's got a pail.
All right, so tight ends for Reaper is going to be Dalton Schultz at Philly versus my – I just picked him up today. Richard Rodgers against Dallas. I'm trying out that Rob adage of start somebody against Dallas. So I'm going to do it this week.
Dude, it's the battle of the backup tight ends. This is Rodgers easy because – easy guy.
My throat's all clogged up right now for no reason.
Dallas does not defend, anybody really well. So you got to give the edge there and – Dalton Schultz was a thing when Dak Prescott was there, but he has not been a thing. And we have no idea what they're going to be like with their third string quarterback. So,
Ben DiNucci.
Yeah. Rodgers.
The new Big Ben.
Yeah, there you go.
The one thing I'm playing Schultz right now over Hockenson and Trey Burton because those guys both have poor matchups against tight ends. The one thing I'm looking at with Schultz is anytime you bring in a rookie, I touched on it with Tua and Gesicki earlier, rookies tend to favor the tight ends when they come in just because it's a, I guess, a position that, translates well for the quarterback from college to the pros, or I guess it's a easier coverage read maybe. And so that's kind of what I'm looking at here is, well, does Schultz get a bump with DiNucci or not? So yep.
Let me blow a hole in you.
Okay.
No.
Drew Sample.
Oh God.
What?
He's come back being mentioned on this podcast. Drew Sample with Joe Burrow, a bust of a tight end and rookie quarterback matchup right there.
Yeah, true.
Yeah, but who was the tight end before Sample was hurt?
It was Uzuma, but he got hurt. And then
– yeah, Schultz is also the backup, too.
Right. But Uzuma, the first 2 weeks before he got hurt, had five targets and six targets. And then by the time Sample started coming on, that was about the time that don't say – anything about me saying coming on. That was about the time that Higgins started to get more and more work and they started to get him more. So that kind of corresponded with a rookie wide receiver taking over that kind of market share.
Alrighty.
So flex for Tyler is Allen Robinson, who's had some questionable. He's in the concussion protocol, yeah, yeah. I'm pretty sure, to this week. So not sure what's going to happen with him there versus Justin Jefferson.
I mean,
ow.
So if Robinson plays, if he clears the protocol, Robinson has good production. Jefferson has a really high ceiling, but, you know, he does have a floor. You know, if Thielen gets more of the love. So, I mean, right now I got to get to Jefferson because I think it might be hard for Robinson to clear the protocol this week.
Yeah, and I think Minnesota's going to be – wow, I think Minnesota's going to be coming from behind, and I'm all over saying things that are innuendo today.
Yeah, right.
And so I think that they're going to be passing a little bit more, and I'm not optimistic, especially with how late it came out that Robinson was in the concussion protocol. I'm not optimistic that he's going to play. Yeah, Matt Nagy right. on Wednesday that he entered the protocol. So that's not ideal.
Yep, I agree.
All right, so defense kicker for Tyler is the Chiefs against the Jets. That's a solid play. And glasses kicker at Detroit versus my Chargers at Denver and Justin Tucker against Pittsburgh.
I mean, these are all good plays, but you had me at Jets.
I do want to say, according to ESPN's rankings, the Chargers matchup is better, unless they're tied somehow, but they have Denver at being the 32nd team offense nice. To play against the defense.
Nice. But Denver also had a backup quarterback for multiple weeks.
True. Locks back. Yep. I like Chiefs. Give me Chiefs and glasses.
Yeah.
All right. So I guess Rob?
Yes.
Or how do we want to do this?
Well, I can let me do
Rob,
both.
I want you to give analysis on both benches, and then we'll both talk on how we feel about your analysis. So go ahead and start with Tyler.
All right. I mean, if he has to replace Robinson in the slot, he really has one candidate, and that's Mike Williams against Denver for the Chargers. I mean, you could play Hockenson if you really wanted to go old double tight end action, but if he really liked Hockenson, he'd play him over Schultz, and so I don't believe that I would do that. And then he had talked about Dobbins earlier. If he really wanted to take a leap that Dobbins gets pulled this week and they ride him, then maybe you put him in, but that's about it. For Blake, you could do a number of things in your flex. You've got Jefferson, which is a good ceiling.
Oh, tell me about it.
But you could totally play T. Higgins there. You know, you'd obviously be playing Madison if you knew that Cook was ruled out, though I don't think he will be. And you're probably smart not to mess around with two Baltimore guys against Pittsburgh. You already got Lamar in there. If you put Marquise in there, you're putting a lot of eggs in beating that Pittsburgh basket. So I think you're probably good. I think your one thought is Higgins. And then if the Cook news is bad, then it's Madison for sure.
All right, Tyler, you want to talk about anything that Rob said?
No, it's going to be Williams if Robinson doesn't play. Just because it would either be Williams or J.K. Dobbins, and I sure as hell don't feel good about J.K. Dobbins. And yeah, tight end's going to be a Sunday decision on that's going to be a Fields pick Sunday morning.
There you go.
Whether I get too nervous about Schultz or not, so we'll see.
So, Rob, my question here for you, I mean, of all of my, you know, that market I have on second receivers, it was T. Higgins or Justin Jefferson, really the question. Mm-hmm. If on Friday, let's say, Crowder is cleared out of the injury, do I throw him in this week?
I wouldn't. I would put one of the other ones because it's a soft tissue injury that he's coming back from. And, you know, being a groin injury, those kinds of things can come back with the wrong plant, with a sliding the wrong direction or whatever. You know what I mean? You're trying to plant your foot and it slides out from under you and kind of do little bit of a split, and then your groin falls on the floor. I'd rather stick, if I was you, with Higgins and or Jefferson in that spot than taking a chance on Crowder, even if he's cleared.
All righty. So, Rob, why don't you tell me who takes this matchup?
Wow. It's real close for me. You know what? I'm going to take – oh, God. I'm going to take Blake by 2 points.
Tyler?
Oh, boy. Man, I think this – I'm going to take Blake. I have some question marks on my team this week, specifically my tight end and flex. But I could also get a boom game out of a DJ Moore or even a Chiefs defense that propels right. me. But I'm going to take Blake.
That is exactly why I said Blake, too. It was flex that was killing me there. So, yeah.
Tyler, do you want to give a point spread like my dad, like Rob did?
I do not.
Okay. I'm going to take me by 10.
Oh,
okay?
Breaking news. Big breaking news.
Yeah.
Somebody give me a sound. Cooper Rush is back, baby.
Who?
Who is?
Cooper Rush.
Bark, bark, bark.
Oh, we signed Cooper Rush.
Love that. Yeah, Dallas re-signed Cooper to the practice squad.
Oh, gross.
Oh, great.
I don't know why that's.
Let's go, Cooper Rush. No, right. that's clearly a they don't like Garrett Gilbert. And. Yeah. They need somebody in case Barton doesn't even suit up.
Well, I don't know what's eating Garrett Gilbert. Anyway.
All right. So our next matchup is going to be the Monkeys and Turbo. Right.
Blake,
Monkeys took their first.
He took him by 10.
The Monkeys took their first L last week. They're 6-1 against the 2-5 Turbo. Turbo needs some wins here, but. According to the ESPN projections, they're not getting it this week. It's 154 to 139 projected.
I don't believe their projections.
The Monkeys are going to have Patty Mahomes against the Jets. Turbo is going to throw out Teddy Bridge against Atlanta.
All right. You look at this and you're like, Mahomes, easy. But hold on, young fella. They are playing the Jets. This could be the type of game where Mahomes is done at the end of the third quarter. Very easily. Now, you hope he's done by the end of the third quarter, that he's put up a lot of touchdowns. But considering how terrible the Jets are, and this goes back to where Tyler has a shot in the last matchup, the defense could pick off and run back two items. Edwards-Helaire could run for four. Shoot, Bell could run for two, and then Mahomes wouldn't get a lot. So I think this is going to be closer than people think because Bridge is going to be in a high-scoring game with Atlanta. I still am going to give the edge to Mahomes because even if that does happen, he'll have to put up something. But I think it's going to be a lot closer.
I'm actually going to give the edge to Bridgewater for all the reasons you said. And, Blake, will you please mute your mic? Jesus Christ. What are you doing?
Oh, I was hoping that it wasn't going to pick that up. I was pouring podcast juice, wine.
Yeah, it sure did pick that up.
It's like, oh my God, that was.
That's all right. That's staying in. Hey, Blake, what do you think about Mahomes Bridgewater?
I mean, I wasn't done. I just got interrupted.
Sorry. I completely interrupted us. So go ahead, Tyler.
I would like to point out that the first five members on Nick's team all play Thursday night.
Wow.
Yeah. So we're going to know what's going to happen with this matchup by Friday morning, probably.
Oh, wow. He has so much Atlanta and Carolina stock.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. All right. Yeah, we will.
All right. I am going to take Teddy Bridge here, I think. I think everybody throws against Atlanta, and Teddy Bridgewater actually has been bombing it out to Robbie and DJ Moore quite a bit. So, good. Running back for the Monkeys are going to be Alvin Kamara and Kareem Hunt. Questionable Kareem Hunt versus Turbo's Todd Gurley and Mike Davis.
This one's easy for me. It's Gurley and Davis because of the matchups. Carolina sucks at run defense, and Mike Davis has been damn good with CMC out, but also Atlanta. I just think that's going to be a higher scoring game.
Yeah, I'm going to agree. I mean, I love Kamara. I think he's the number one running back in fantasy, correct? Probably number one. Yeah, number one overall. Hunt's got ribs, but he'll probably be fine. But Chicago and, for some reason, Las Vegas aren't that bad on defense, where Carolina and Atlanta are. So, yeah, crazy you'd say, but Gurley and Davis.
All right. Receivers for the Monkeys, Robert Woods and questionable Jarvis Landry versus a questionable Julio Jones and Robbie Anderson.
I mean, go ahead.
Yeah, go ahead, Rob.
Okay.
Is Robbie Anderson still the number one receiver? No, he dropped.
Technically, Julio Jones isn't questionable anymore. If you refresh, he was taken off the injury report in the last 40 minutes. For real, I'm not kidding. So,
you are not kidding.
So, give me Julio and Robbie Anderson in this one for sure.
Tyler, anything to say?
I think we lost Tyler. I think he might have gotten a call, and he said that would be fine if he dropped off and we just continue on. So,
all right. So, yeah, I agree with you. Julio and Robbie. Robbie Anderson, I know we said it last week, but he's a totally different receiver in Carolina. It's as a Robbie owner a couple years ago, it's really nice to see. I always liked the guy.
Yeah, so. And instead of
tight end.
Yep.
Tight end for the Monkeys, George Kittle at Seattle. They are a porous defense if I ever seen one. Versus Turbo has Jonnu Smith at Cincinnati.
I mean, both can do well here. Jonnu Smith has been good when he's played a whole game, but he has been dinged up in a game or two this year. Kittle seems to be over his. Give me Kittle.
Agreed. Kittle can do anything. Flex for the Monkeys. He's doing that double tight end game. Noah Fant.
Wow, is this Chargers Blake?
Versus, yeah.
Blake circa 2019.
Except then it was Kittle and Kelsey, you know, because I was just that kind of guy.
KK brothers. Didn't add the third.
I can't think of another last name K person off the top
probably
of my head.
Idea.
So Deontay Johnson, questionable, is in the flex.
Yeah,
Turbo.
I mean, he's fine. He's been injured recently, so he's going to be on that.
So he was in last week just fine and then took an injury, toe injury during the game and did not practice today.
Yeah, he had a toe injury earlier in the season, so it's the same one. So he probably just aggravated it. I mean, he had a good game. what does Mira think?
Mira is very strong on the Deontay Johnson topic.
She really is. I guess she's a Noah Fant fan. So let's go with that.
Yeah, that sounds good. That's a Mira pick for
okay.
you. Defense kicker for the Monkeys is the Rams at Miami and Harrison Butker versus Turbo's Bears against New Orleans and Robbie.
I mean, the Bears defense has played pretty good, but I don't like them against New Orleans. Rams have been great on defense, and against a rookie making his first start, yum, yum, yum. And then Butker against the Jets, I like a lot as well. So give me Rams and Butker.
You almost made me spit up
when I said yum, yum, yum.
Yes. I was in the middle of taking a sip and you go yum, yum,
see,
yum.
I think after Tyler dropped, the podcast got more funny.
It did. Our dynamic.
Well, there you
better,
go.
I think
he'll like to hear that.
Let's never tell Tyler.
Yeah, don't say anything, guys.
All right, I'm gonna go through the Monkeys bench real quick. You know, I haven't looked at it yet, so I'm just gonna talk while I think. Um, I almost started saying I'd play Jake Elliott instead of Harrison Butker at kicker. Because I feel like if the Chiefs are gonna be in the red zone or anywhere in field goal range, Patrick Mahomes is gonna get them to score. Philly kind of sucks on offense, you know, in general. So, and even though Dallas, like we said earlier, is, you know, a vomit-ridden piece of material, they can have, they've been known to stop people, you know, every now and again.
Oh, so you're thinking it.
But, you know, we're talking kickers here.
That'd be tough to do.
Otherwise, you know, Jarvis Landry or Kareem Hunt are your question tags here, but you don't have a lot of options. You know, you're looking at Matt Breida at running back to swap out if Kareem Hunt doesn't play. Darius Slayton is probably a decent option to throw in for to wide receiver if Jarvis Landry is questionable going
Yeah,
into
you'd put him
Sunday.
in easy over Gallup. Gallup's the deep threat, and there's no way Mini Ben is going to have enough time to find Gallup more than 15 yards downfield, let alone his tight end 5 yards downfield with the line that they're putting up there in Dallas right now. So yeah, I agree with that. On to Turbo, I mean, assuming Deontay Johnson plays, it's not a bad play though. I don't really like him against Baltimore that much. You might think about putting Jamichael Hasty, your new toy for San Francisco, playing against Seattle in that flex spot. You know, San Francisco wants to run the ball, and if they're going to be successful against Seattle, which I think they will be, Hasty's a good play in the flex.
So I know I talked up Teddy Bridge earlier in
You
this
sure did.
review. Do you maybe throw in your other new toy, Joe Burrow, against Tennessee?
No, because Atlanta's that bad on defense, and Teddy's been that good recently. No, I would not.
I mean, damn. I mean, just looking at how many yards that Burrow has thrown this year. All right, so who are you taking here?
I mean, the problem the Monkeys have is they've got bye week issues and some injury. If Landry doesn't play, they're in a real stinker with. You know, Slayton was a one-man show, but Shepard's back this week. And Tampa Bay is a really good defense. So I'm not sure I even like Slayton in there. And if you got Slayton and Woods, you know, Noah Fant's okay. And if we're thinking the quarterback thing is that even and the running backs are going to take this one and the receivers are going to take this one, by all that, I got to give it to Turbo.
Yeah, I know I said at the beginning of this that the Monkeys are heavily favored, but when we really break this down, I actually really like Turbo as
Well,
well. Especially with the last time we had a fully healthy Julio Jones going into a week, he scored 40 points. So, and against he's playing against Carolina. Give me Turbo. And I actually feel
All
pretty
right.
confident about that. Next up, we're gonna have Whitefish, 2-5 versus 4-3.
Yeah,
Touchdown my
gross.
pants. Yeah, it's you could be
A lot
better.
better.
Okay, Tyler sent me a text. He says
There you
Turbo over Monkeys, but obviously Thursday will decide it. I'm just going to give you his analysis or his results for this one. He's going to say fish over
Okay.
pants. He says fish finally getting healthy and is dangerous going forward.
All right.
So yes, you are 2-5 versus 4-3. You're currently favored by quite a bit,
As I
162 to
was last week, it makes no
137.
difference.
However, you are starting Carson Wentz against Dallas, which I don't like I don't like the Carson Wentz part about that, but I like the
So do
against
I.
Dallas part about
Let's just say that the Giants are about
that.
as pretty bad on defense. And Carson Wentz got 40 points against the Giants. Dallas is worst on defense, so I feel pretty good about it.
All right, the touchdown my pants has Russell Wilson against San Francisco.
Which Russell's Russell. He's going to cook. I mean, he's going to put
He
up his
is.
numbers. You know, he's probably going to get 40 at least. So I'm just hoping that I can match that with Carson.
Yeah, I don't know. It's a close one. I mean, I'm gonna take Wilson
because I'm gonna take Wilson, but Carson makes it close because of the matchup.
All right, running back for you, Whitefish, is James Conner and Derrick Henry. Fuck you. And you're playing against Jerick McKinnon and Boston Scott.
Yeah, you don't. I mean,
what are you talking about?
What you talk about is you got the names over the backups. Conner, I mean, he'll get some catches, he'll get some points, but he's not going to have a great game against Baltimore. Baltimore's good. Derrick Henry against Cincinnati, fucking guy could have 200 yards. Jerick McKinnon against Seattle, who the hell knows with San Francisco? That McHale guy could get all the run. They're trying to limit McKinnon because he's coming off the knee injury and they were working him too hard, so they're going to try to limit his carries. But all he needs is one, and you know what happens against me. People score their highest games. And Boston Scott against Dallas, come on. We just made Antonio Gibson look like the next coming last week. And Washington had the number 31 rushing offense in the league. So who the hell knows? I'm going to go with Connor and Henry just based on the fact that Derrick Henry, but it's going to be super close.
Yeah, I would go with Connor and Henry pretty easily, I think. I don't think when analyzing these players and these matchups, you can – count in, you know, owner person.
Well, I can.
Because you're winning the matchup right now.
Yeah, well, handily. I won the matchup against you last week handily and still lost the actual game, so.
I mean, so in my defense about that, after the podcast, Jamal Williams became the starter and got Aaron Jones work. So that I went from starting a backup to starting a Aaron Mitch. Jones pretty much.
Alrighty.
So receiver for you is Davante Adams and Kenny Galladay versus Amari Cooper and Adam Thielen.
Adams and Galladay.
Yeah. Cooper is going to be hard to count on in fantasy until we figure out the quarterback situation, if that's ever figured out this year.
I mean, he'll still probably get a lot of receptions. However, he'll probably get the Slade treatment. Darius Slade is the Philadelphia corner, and he will probably be on Cooper. So it will probably be up to CeeDee Lamb to actually carry the passing game and maybe the tight ends. And so, yeah, I don't feel good about Cooper this week. Thielen will do fine. But again, it could be a Jefferson game. We know Galladay and Adams are going to get theirs.
Oh, my God. Hang on a second. I was just looking at stats for Thielen. He has an inordinate amount of touchdowns this year. Seven. Jesus. He's got seven touchdowns.
He scored in every game except against the Colts, which was his lowest output.
And weren't they talking earlier this year during a game that he had that was his seventh touchdown in Minnesota or something like that? Like in week know. One or something. I thought that he was a person.
He didn't
that
get, he a, didn't lot get a lot of touchdowns. Last year, I don't know that he got more than three, but he's got seven this year. Yeah. When it rains, it pours.
That's crazy. I didn't realize that stat was a real thing. So tight end for you is Darren Waller at Cleveland versus Rob Gronkowski at the Giants.
I like Waller here, but Gronk's been getting, you know, in the mid to high teens recently here. And the Giants are sneakily okay on defense. I don't know if that's really a phrase, sneakily okay. But they're not bad. I don't know that their linebackers are that great, but I still like Waller against Cleveland more than I like Gronk.
So I heard somebody say last week that because a lot of people were like, oh, Gronkowski in the beginning of the season, he's just there to block. He can't catch the ball or be a good receiving tight end anymore. What I heard is, you know, you go a year off and being in the booth, and then you come back on a team. You can't come back and then be an extremely productive physical tight end position of all things.
Yep.
Right away. So I think we're seeing that now the conditioning's back, the rapport is back with Brady, and he's got 8 targets both of the last 2 games and scored 17-plus points fantasy. So yeah. I think Gronk
is back. If we said we weren't going to push, I would normally just push this because they both are scoring in the teens, and I think that's what they'll do. But I got to pick somebody, so I'm going to just give it to Waller just because he's a bigger part of their offense than Gronk is. But Gronk has had to be recently because of all their injuries to wideouts, which is why they signed AB, which I guess was a news that we forgot to talk about.
That is some news we forgot. Also, we're talking about AB, Dez Bryant.
There you go. Now we got all the practice squad.
Okay. I'll take Gronk. So flex for you is Travis Fulgham against Dallas versus questionable Devontae Parker against
Rams. I'm doing that Fulgham thing and that Carson thing against Dallas. I know I've got Metcalf, and it's probably going to be a Sunday decision. Do I put Metcalf back in after the disappointing 2-for-23 showing last week when freaking his wide receiver mate goes off for 200 and he gets 23 yards and gets a 48-yard touchdown, take it back. Thanks for the loss, DK Metcalf. I don't know if I go back to him against San Francisco or if I just play Dallas train, but that's what I'm doing right now. And in this one, I like Fulgham better than a hurt Parker, especially since we don't know where Tua is going to throw.
All right. Agreed on that one. So you're a defense kicker. You're still riding that play against Dallas.
You bet.
Playing the Eagles defense and Young Hoku at Carolina versus Pants's Colts at Detroit and Graham Gano, who's questionable.
I like the way you
kicker
said that.
Is questionable. How does that work?
In last Thursday's game, he hurt his leg.
What a little bitch.
So he's questionable right now. I guess he'll find out before the week's out, and then he might have to pick up a kicker or might not. Let's pretend he's healthy by then.
Yeah, then just
For this, it's Eagles and Koo for me.
Yeah, I'm thinking right now it's Dalton's not going to play, so you're playing against – he's a sixth-round rookie, Ben DiNucci?
Yes. He's going to throw picks. He's going to get sacked, probably fumble the ball. I mean, his first 2 plays, he fumbled the ball in against Washington. Yep. And, I don't – this game could be 45-3.
That game's going to be ugly. All right, so you touched on a little bit with DK Metcalf.
I mean, that's really it.
On your bench.
I mean, I guess if Michael Thomas got cleared, I'd have to think about that, but I don't think he's going to. I think they're going to keep him out, and he'll play the following week. And then I've got a lot of decisions to make at receiver, which is, again, why I made the trade I made today. Carson's probably not going to play, so I got nothing there. It really is Metcalf or Fulgham. And I made the mistake last week of playing the guy that was rated higher, which was Carson, instead of the guy that was playing Dallas, which was Gibson. The guy playing that was rated higher got 4 points and got hurt. The guy who's playing Dallas got 23 points and would have won me the week if I'd have played him. So I don't think I'm going to make that mistake this week.
All right. As far as Pants' bench goes, kind of tied down by buys and injuries.
I mean,
I think it's interesting to look at Aaron Rodgers instead of against Minnesota instead of Russell Wilson, but Russ is number one in fantasy.
Here's what I would look at. If Parker continues to be questionable, I would put Mike Gesicki in at the flex. If Parker doesn't play, more shit for the tight end. Yeah. Tua's going to throw more to the tight end. No, on the second hand, play Miles Sanders because he's questionable and probably won't play. Do that one instead.
All right. So, Rob, who
you say? Until I'm proven otherwise, touchdown my pants. I'm not picking me.
Yep. I'm gonna not take picking you. Me.
Until I'm proven.
I'm with Tyler. I'm with Tyler. You're going to win.
I got it right last week. Boy, guys both picked me, and I picked you, and I got it right. So, I'm going against me.
I'm going to go Whitefish. Whitefish by 32.
I'm going me losing by 18. I'm just saying.
All right. Okay. Next up. Next up is the Monty Fantasy Team 2-5 versus the also.
Oh,
two
man, we're already at 58 Hedgehog. Minutes. We better book this bitch.
I know. Tyler says Monty over Hogs. The RB2s in this matchup are gross as fuck.
All right.
He also says, assuming Jones doesn't play, I think Evans has a good game with Godwin out. So, Monty Fantasy Team has Derek Carr. Oh, God, my window's all sorts of fucked right now. Derek Carr.
Tom Brady.
Against.
I got it.
Loading.
Tom Brady at the Giants.
There it goes. Hey. Yeah. Derek Carr at Cleveland versus Tom Brady at the Giants. Dude,
they both could do well. I mean, Cleveland, look what Cleveland did. Cincinnati, Burrow did against Cleveland. They went toe-to-toe, boom, boom, boom. You know, I would like to think Carr could do what a rookie could do. But Brady, after, you know, his growing pains the first couple of weeks where he's throwing pick sixes and stuff, I mean, he's been lights out and the Giants are garbage.
I'll take Tom Brady.
Yeah, give me Brady. I hate to do it, but yep, I'm doing it.
Next up, running back for Monty is he's got him in right now. Both questionable, Dalvin Cook and Aaron Jones.
Against?
Against Justin Jackson and LaMichael
Okay,
Piran.
So Cook's going to play. So I like Cook. Jones probably won't play. So let's pretend I'm going to look at his bench and pretend he's putting in Joshua Kelly. So let's pretend that, or I will. I'm going to pretend Cook and Kelly against Jackson. Ooh, opposing backs in the same backfield and Piran. I'm going to take Cook and Kelly over Jackson and Piran.
I hate this. I mean, because Dalvin Cook easily could come off, an injury and a bye, but he's injury central once he gets injured.
Can you really
break himself again?
Piran? I mean, I know he's gotten some grabs. You know, two catches.
So the carry split in the back, the split in the backfield for the Jets last week was 11 carries to Gore and 11 carries to Piran. Right. Piran got a touchdown, and he had I think 20 more yards.
I mean, but look who they're playing against, Kansas City.
They're playing against Kansas City,
that's why I got to take.
But
my assumption of Cook.
Yes, you got to take. You got to take Monty here, there is a greater than 40% chance that Cook doesn't play either.
I don't know that it's
or doesn't play a full game.
But I got you.
Let me say between 40 and 50. That's kind of what I meant. All right. So receiver for the fantasy team is Tyler Lockett and Cole Beasley versus Tyreek Hill and A.J. Green.
Basically Tyreek Hill. I mean – God, if Tyler Lockett has a freaking another 200 yards and Cole Beasley has another 100-yard game like he did last week, I mean, that's easy. Okay, so Hill should murder the Jets. A.J. Green is washed up. Cole Beasley against New England, I mean, if you're going to do anything against New England, it's that middle of the field, so that's a good spot for him. Tyler Lockett, who the hell knows whether it's going to be Lockett or Metcalf, which is why I'm having a hard time starting Metcalf. So, don't know. Based on we got a sure thing and a garbage against two maybes. So I guess the two maybes beat the sure thing and the garbage.
I'm going to give it to Lockett and Beasley, but we always say that AJ Green's washed up, Blue Factory, garbage, all that. He's not been terrible this year, I guess, if you look at it. He doesn't have a touchdown, but in the last 2 weeks, he's had 8 for 96 and 7 for 82 on 11.
I mean, and it could happen again.
He seems to be getting involved all of a sudden.
It happened the last two games because Burrow threw for over 300 yards, and so it was Higgins and Boyd that got the big stuff, and then he got the lower stuff. It could happen against Tennessee again. Tennessee does not have a good pass defense, and you know for sure Tennessee is going to be able to score on Cincinnati. So it very well could be he could get 6 for 80 again, which, I mean, that's 14 points. That's livable. And that might meet what Cole Beasley gets. And if he gets that and Cole Beasley comes down, which, you know, by all rights he should, and gets 14, especially if John Brown comes back this week, which he's supposed to, but who knows. Then you're betting on Lockett against Hill, and then I like Hill. So I put this close. That's why I said the two middles make it a slight win for me against the low guy and the real good guy.
All righty. Tight end for the fantasy team is Jimmy Graham against New Orleans versus Mark Andrews against Pittsburgh.
I would have actually liked Jimmy Graham better in this matchup because I don't think New Orleans is very good against tight ends. However, I don't remember his name, but the linebacker for Pittsburgh that got knocked out before last week, not this last game, but the week before, I think he would have been that main guy that would have covered Andrews going down the slot. So if Baltimore is going to do well against Pittsburgh, Andrews has to be part of that. And I just don't know that New Orleans got a good front four. And I don't know that I think Foles is going to be under pressure all day. Give me Andrews here.
All right. Can we just remark on Jimmy Graham, number four tight end?
And it's
year?
Because of the touchdowns. I mean,
he's definitely a starter tight end. You know, I never thought I'd say that.
He's got four touchdowns.
Graham,
did you ever think Jimmy Graham would have four touchdowns after seven games? No, I figured one, two, four touchdowns. That's not bad from the tight end position, especially this year.
All right. So let's move into flex, and we'll talk about the touchdown factory. Mike Evans at the Giants versus Chase Claypool at Baltimore.
Much like Tyler's thing, I like Evans against the Giants, especially if Godwin doesn't play. So, and Claypool, we saw his up and down. I guess it depends if Deontay Johnson plays or not. I know he's questionable. He didn't play 2 weeks ago, got out of a game a week ago, or maybe that was swapped. And so Claypool had great games or, you know, at least decent points. Last week he had a 1 point because Deontay Johnson had two touchdowns and was healthy until the end. So I guess it depends if he plays or not, but you're taking that risk there. You're not taking a risk with Evans, and you actually have a bonus if a guy doesn't play. So Evans.
Yes. Defense kicker for the fantasy team, the Bucks at the Giants, and Daniel Carlson at Cleveland versus the Ravens against Pittsburgh and Steven Garcia.
Much like I said, for the other New York team, you had me at the Giants. Give me Bucks and Carlson.
Yeah. All right. And then also, Gostkowski hasn't been.
No, he's had good games, but he has missed field goals that he should make, which I guess New England knew when to get rid of him.
All righty. So talk me about the Monty Fantasy team bench.
No, I didn't go into it. I did with Kelly. If and when Jones doesn't play, which I believe is an 80 to 90% possibility, I would throw Joshua Kelly in at that back position. And that would be the only change I would make on this team.
All righty. And then I'm looking at the Hedgehogs bench, and it's not exciting.
Lindsey's probably
not really at all.
IRs, a backup running back. I guess if you really thought good of Henry Ruggs, you might put him in. You know, here's what I would do. If Deontay Johnson is injury designation goes away by Saturday, I'm putting Henry Ruggs in instead of Chase Claypool. Henry Ruggs is going to get more action against Cincinnati, against Cleveland. They're both in Ohio. Who cares? It's a shithole state anyway. I would do that. All right.
I think I agree with you there. I was looking at maybe, putting in Malcolm Brown instead of Justin Jackson.
No, because Brown's not the guy that's getting starters reps anyway. You know,
All right, so Tyler took Monty.
I also
who
am
you
going to take
taking?
Monty here.
And Queen
All
Sweep,
right.
I'll take the fantasy team as well.
Da-da-da-da.
So our final matchup, Commissioner's Cup, I think Terry has – who has it? I'm not even sure. I think Terry has it.
Sure,
the
why
Cup.
not?
That's what I'm talking about. You know, that unofficial
right,
thing
never
that we
really
always talk about but never really,
or,
you know,
yeah.
care about. Scary Terry is at 4-3 versus Kegerator at 6-1. As it stands, this matchup is actually
Yeah, sure
really
is.
close. It's within 7 points. Terry has Justin Herbert at Denver versus Baker Mayfield
100%
and the
Justin Herbert. Now Mayfield's coming off a good game, which is I could see why, you know, with Kyler Murray on a bye, why Kegerator picked him up because he just did a whole crazy load against Cincinnati. But I mean, even at Dallas, where they murdered him, he only got 19 and a half points. 19 and a half points against Washington. Played against Cincinnati the time before and got 23. Now, is this addition by subtraction? Is Odell Beckham being gone for the year mean all of a sudden Baker Mayfield's going to be what he was his rookie year, which is this 3-4 touchdown a week guy? I don't know. I can't put my books in that basket, but I can put my books in the Justin Herbert basket, who's been an absolute stud ever since he took over. And the last 3 weeks have been above 40 consistently and above 50 last week. Herbert, baby.
Yep, I agree with you with your analysis 100%. I do. I mean, that game last week, the Browns-Bengals game, was fucking
I will
awesome.
Add this as the – oh, go ahead.
Both teams, watching them play, oh, my God, it was exciting. And I never thought I'd say – I mean, I was excited while watching a Bengals
Well, earlier today, NFL
Browns
Network game. Had a replay of one of the games from the weekend, and that was the one they replayed.
Oh God, I would watch that again. I didn't watch
so,
the full game. I watched
I'm
the second
like
half.
Like I said, I'm taking Herbert.
Oh,
but
boy.
Here's the caveat:
it was fun to watch.
Baker Mayfield is a crazy guy. He did not like the rookie
and?
Taking shine off of him. He was hearing all bad things about him the week before in the press, and how this rookie coming in, Joe Burrow, was the next best thing against sliced bread, right? And he balled out even after Odell went out. Well, Justin Herbert's also a rookie and is also balling out and is also getting a lot of press. Maybe that's the only way Mayfield can play is to get pissed off. So maybe
My
he
kind
makes
of guy.
This closer than I think it's going to be. But I'm going to take Herbert. But if for some reason Mayfield balls out again, that's why. It's because his matchup, in his mind, is Herbert, and he's like, "No, nah, I ain't gonna let this fucking rookie beat me. I'm fucking Baker Mayfield, right?" There you go.
Yeah,
that's
I
the in-depth
that
analysis
a
you're gonna get from
analyst.
The Whitefish today.
Okay, so we're gonna go into Terry's running backs. They are Ronald Jones,
yes.
who, speaking of balling out. And the newly acquired Josh Jacobs, who's questionable, or is
no.
Do I have an old window
his list
here?
Is questionable.
Knee was
there's
limited,
nothing to
limited
suggest he's going
to
miss anything.
Tonight,
it's just he's always had a knee. You've known that. You owned him. I owned him. Every week he was questionable with the knee, and he loses it Thursday, so it's no big deal.
All right, so Kegerator has Zeke.
All right,
and
this is easy
David
Ronald
Montgomery.
Jones and Josh Jacobs by far. Zeke is not going to do anything against the Philadelphia front seven. I'm sorry. We Dallas has no lineman that can block. Zeke is going to get 18 carries for 45 yards and 4 catches for 20 yards. And if that ends up being exactly right, mark it down and send me a dollar. And I don't like Montgomery against New Orleans. New Orleans is actually pretty decent. So give me Ronald Jones and Josh Jacobs here.
Alrighty. Receiver is Cooper Kupp and Tyler Boyd, newly acquired for Terry, versus Calvin Ridley and Scotty Miller is getting thrown
well,
right into
I think
the
he probably
starting
did
lineup
because of buys. I really like Tyler Boyd against Tennessee. If I would have made the trade I made, he was going to be in my flex instead of Fulgham, which is how much I like Tyler Boyd this week against Tennessee. Cooper Kupp against Miami. I mean, Rams receivers are hard to guess who's going to get the love. You know, whether it's Woods, whether it's Kupp, whether it suddenly goes to the tight end, whether Everett gets it. You know what I'm saying? It's hard to predict. Ridley's going to get his for sure. And Scotty Miller, I mean, I guess his stock goes up if because Brown isn't going to be available till next week. If Godwin is out, which is probably why he put all the money on Scotty Miller, because he's got Godwin. He knew he was going to be out. And this is the last week, really, you can play Scotty Miller. And Brady seems to find him, so it's not a terrible matchup, but give me Tyler Boyd. And, but Ridley.
Right.
Shit. For some reason, I talked so long, I thought I was doing a flex between Boyd and Miller. You know what? I'm going to go Ridley and Miller. I said it.
Yeah, I think so, too. I think this is the last week you're going to get anything out of Miller. Also, let's just take a second. So in the next couple weeks and the last half of fantasy here, you have Tom Brady throwing to Mike Evans, Chris Godwin, a healthy Chris Godwin if he gets Antonio back, Brown. And AJ Brown, or
gross,
Antonio Brown,
and
what the fuck? Gronk. What the fuck is that?
And Ronald Jones.
What the? And Ronald Jones.
And Fournette's getting healthy. Fournette's getting healthy too.
Let's not forget that Cameron Brate went to Harvard.
I guess people that went to Brown, but screw them. Speaking of.
So, I mean, that's just ridiculous in of itself. Just Antonio Brown, Mike Evans, and Chris Godwin all being thrown to you by Brady, which I think we can all agree at this point, you know, especially with his showing in Tampa Bay, is probably the greatest quarterback of all time.
I'd have to say yes. It took him a few games, and at first I was like, I guess Tampa Bay's just turning the ball over, regardless of whether it's Jameis Winston at quarterback or Tom Brady. But they have corrected that, and – I think he knows where the people are going to be now. I mean, hell, he threw a lot of interceptions his first couple of years at New England. And then after that, it was like everybody knew where everybody was going to be, blah, blah, blah. Yeah, I hate to say it too, but you're probably right.
Yeah, I've solidified my hate. It's not never – it was – now I've learned it was never for Tom Brady. It was always for Bill Belichick. Tom Brady's actually a funny guy with personality in Tampa Bay, so that's kind of nice to see. So let's not talk about Tom Brady anymore and stroke his cock anymore than it needs to be. So we're going to go to Travis Kelce against the Jets for Scary Terry versus Hunter Henry at Denver
Jets.
For the keg. Jets, yes, I had me too. Flex, Brandon Ayuk at Seattle for Terry versus Leonard Fournette at the Giants
both
for Keg Raider.
These are both weird matchups. So here's the thing going for Fournette. They like to use him in the closing role. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I've said it before a lot. I think that's a shitty thing to do to Fournette. He's a young running back who has a lot of running potential, and you're going to relegate him to just a game.
But
closer.
He's still got –
it's just so frustrating.
He's still got 11 carries for 50 yards last week and 6 catches, right? That's pretty decent coming off the injury.
No,
I actually like Fournette a lot. Everything they've said about Ronald Jones, and he did great when he was the only guy in town. I think secretly they want Fournette to be healthy and want him to lead this backfield. That's my feeling. I have no reason to believe that, but that's what I think. The thing going for Ayuk is that isn't Debo out? Am I wrong there? Okay.
I believe Debo Samuel
is out. So against New England,
yes,
he had a really good game. I mean, obviously, that's probably why he's being played. He had over 100 yards. Seattle is not a good defense. with the way San Francisco does things, I could see Ayuk having a good game. Just based on the fact that we're looking at a receiver who did well against New England, who has a running mate that's out against a running back who has a guy he's going to split with. So those touchdown chances are going to get split. I gotta give a slight edge to Ayuk, though I really like Fournette against the Jets, or excuse me, against the Giants.
I like Ayuk here. I've always liked Fournette for whatever reason. I've just been a fan of him. And can you imagine the fantasy implications? If he landed somewhere else, you know, on a team who was looking for a running back in this offseason, you know, Denver, if they signed Melvin Gordon, so if they said they signed Fournette, or, you know, the Rams are looking for a lead back. Like, the Rams, I think, would be a fantastic spot for Fournette.
So, supposedly, Tampa Bay already had a running back, but they signed Fournette. What if the Giants, even though they had Barkley, would have signed Fournette? And then they lose Barkley. What would the Giants be doing with Fournette as their lead running back instead of this mishmash of terrible people, and that they had to sign Devontae Freeman, who's already hurt again? Right? How would the Giants be? Maybe decent.
Well, yeah, they would be decent, but I don't think they would not have signed Fournette with Barkley healthy.
No, but I'm just saying, what about the Bills? Though they did draft a rookie, I guess, since they weren't sure about Singletary, but could you imagine if they would have said, hey, Fournette and Singletary, let's roll this thing?
Buffalo. I think in LA, the Rams.
Or New England. They already had problems, though they're not very good. So
I don't know.
Anyway, I get you.
Yeah. I like Fournette. And I just think he's criminally underrated in the NFL and fantasy.
Yeah, I agree.
So defense kicker for Terry is the Patriots at Buffalo, Randy Bullock against Tennessee, and Keg has the Bills against the Patriots and Will Lutz at Chicago.
Dude, I don't want to pick this one. Neither defense has been that good recently. I'm going to take the Bills just because the Patriots have kind of been a trash fire.
Yeah, I think Cam Newton's good for at least a pick.
Right. So, yeah, I guess I'll lean on the Keg Raider side for the defense kicker.
All right. Terry's bench. Let me know about it.
I mean, you do have – no, I think Jacobs will be fine, and I like Jones. I still like Jones. Let's see. Let's look at you're not replacing Kelsey. No, I got nothing. I would play Ayuk over Shepherd against Tampa, so I got nothing over there.
There is so much of nothing but buy hell on Keg Raider's bench. You're playing what you can play.
Yeah, buy hell and out hell.
All right, who are you taking here, Rob? And then I'll tell you who Tyler takes.
This is a tough one, but you know what? I'm taking Terry.
All right. Tyler says Terry over Keg Raider easily, all caps.
Wow.
As though I would be playing Melvin Gordon over Ayuk.
I mean, okay, there you go. He could do that. He could put Gordon in that flex, I guess. Who's Gordon playing against? The Chargers? I mean, I know why he's doing Ayuk, because they're playing Seattle. And he knows his Seattle team, much like I know my Dallas team. Right.
I agree with Terry. I think he's catching Keg Raider at the right time.
I thought I was catching you at the right time last week.
Yeah, but then I ended up having a running back one anyway.
You're a running back one.
All right. Do you have anything to close out here, Rob?
No. I hope I'm wrong on my pick against myself, that I break the streak of whoever I'm playing getting a top two or three finish. That's it. I think Jared was on my side, even though I think I'm playing him, saying that you'll break the streak eventually. So I hope it's this week. And Jared congratulates me on our group text.
All right. And I hope that last week's an indicator that I'm finally out of the only scoring 120 something hole.
Yeah, at least people are only scoring 110 against you.
All right. We'll see you guys next week, and we'll see you over the weekend.
All right. Smile.